I'm standing across from 2 Mansfield Street. This is where Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab lived from September 2005 to June 2008. After classes, he would return to this imposing white-pillared building near Regent's Park. It's a very exclusive neighborhood, full of Mercedes and Rolls Royces. Madonna even bought a house here. And this is where Abdulmutallab stayed, all by himself.
As with many of these cases, the key is not necessarily the socioeconomics of the situation.
Peter Newman is an expert on radicalization at King's College London.
The key is a sense of feeling lost, a sense of searching for identity, a sense of needing something that makes sense of your life. And if at that point in time someone comes along and offers a very simplistic yet very plausible, perhaps, explanation of what you can do with your life, that may seem attractive.
Abdulmutallab found just those sorts of people on the fringes of his school. MI5, the British equivalent to the FBI, has a list of 12 campuses it says have been fertile ground for extremist recruiters. University College London, or UCL, the school Abdulmutallab attended, is at the top of that list.
Abdulmutallab, I'm pretty certain, was radicalized in London.
Again, Peter Newman of King's College.
He was president of the Islamic Society of University College London. And during that time, he regularly invited very radical speakers.
Security officials tell NPR that during that time, between 2005 and 2007, Abdulmutallab also befriended a suspected terrorist. The man's name was Wahid Zaman, and he happened to be president of an Islamic student society at another university. That school, London Metropolitan University, is also on the security services shortlist of campuses with radical Islamic elements. The connection to Zaman is important. He was part of a group accused of planning a major terrorist attack back in 2006. Allegedly, they wanted to detonate homemade liquid bombs on board at least 7 passenger planes. That episode is the reason you're not allowed to carry more than 3 ounces of liquid onto an airplane. Security officials believe Abdulmutallab knew Zaman at the time. Zaman is about to be retried on charges linked to the plot. Officials also tell NPR that Abdulmutallab was in contact with a second possible terrorist. That man was initially arrested 2 years ago as part of a plot to kidnap a British Muslim soldier and behead him. While the extent of these relationships is unclear, security officials say they're meaningful because they may shed light on when Abdulmutallab began the transformation from radical student to potential terrorist. Of course, all this seems clearer in hindsight.
I think we have to be very wary of being too simple about this.
Peter Clark is the former head of Scotland Yard's counterterrorism unit.
We need to look at underlying issues. We need to look at the individual's life. We need to look at the specific influences that came to bear upon them, whether it's key individuals or key events or a gradual process that has drawn them into the position where they're willing to kill people in their hundreds and thousands.
Britain differs from the U.S. in that it has thousands of people in what authorities call a jihadi subculture, people in contact with Muslim extremists who never intend to commit violence. U.K. authorities say they concentrate on the several hundred people they think may actually act. And there was nothing about Abdulmutallab that suggested he was in that group. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, London.